You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
33 states, if you're keeping track, have banned cell phone in class. And teachers are asking, what the heck took so long? One history teacher, he went viral, and he said this first week of school.
My school, my state, banned the phones. Today, all of my students, 100% of them, took notes in my class, did their assignment, asked for help when they got stuck, and turned it in. And then when they were done, they talked to each other. Has it been this easy of a solution the whole time?
I'm just confused.
He's a liar.
There is no way 100% of the students took notes and had a discussion and completed the assignment during that. Has he ever heard of ADHD? It doesn't matter what he says with the phones. Somebody was disruptive. Somebody ignored everything he said.
Well, I think for the most part, you're probably like, well, I don't have anything to distract me, so I have nothing better to do than to follow this lesson and to pay attention and to try to do well. Also, it's like the first week of classes for a lot of these schools. So, you know, you go in fresh. You don't get disillusioned until like week two, at least, right?
I guess when you're in a new classroom setting on top of it, even if you're the clown or the troublemaker, you look around and everybody else is doing that. Read the room. Mm-hmm. So I guess that makes sense. But talk to that guy in 7 days.
We'll see. But what I have to say is I'm just very confused by a lot of things because my daughter's school has been a cell phone ban for the last year. Last year was the first year they launched it. And we did the thing with the Yonder pouches where they had to lock them when they walked into the school, the high school.
Yeah.
I just don't understand. Were teachers just letting kids use their cell phones during class?
I mean, I think that there's all sorts of rules, right? And when you confront a student, it's a problem. And if they all push back against you or you've got parents that are pushing back against you, which has been a real big thing, it's a problem, right? What are the rules there? And how much time can you dedicate to trying to get them to correct that behavior than actually not teaching the lesson?
I don't think all the kids are being truthful when they're saying that they're locking these cell phones in these Yonder pouches every morning when they walk into the school building.
Of course not.
But I do think that if you have a severe enough plan in action where you're going to be disciplined and you're going to get in trouble, if you're seen with your cell phone, you don't take it out. So even if you're keeping it in your backpack for emergencies or you're sneaking into the bathroom to check if somebody texted you, you know, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, like whatever.
Yeah.
At least you're not taking it out during class and checking your TikTok.
I mean, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
The end result being the same.
Right.
Is that either way, it deters the behavior one way or the other. I'll give you an example. Right now in my town, they have put in a bunch of different speed cameras, right? Mm-hmm. They can issue tickets now. They're not actual infractions. You're not going to lose your license, but it'll cost you $50 the first time, $75 the second time, and so on and so on. It goes up and up. And this is happening all around the schools where they've put these cameras. You come over the hill, you might be doing 40 miles per hour, but I promise you, when you get to that spot, you're doing 25. You are crawling along. And then when you get around the turn, you might speed up again. But if it created this area where you had to slow down so much, chances are when you got around the turn, you're not going quite as fast as you would have been. So the deterrent is working, right?
Yeah. So I just wonder, 33 states have banned the phones. I mean, what are the rest waiting for at this point?
I just wonder whether or not I got a ticket this morning when I came over the hill and I was asleep and very tired and thought about something else.
I mean, we'll find out. Back to school shopping and people are spending because the kids are back at school. Joining us, it's the National Retail Federation Vice President of Industry and Consumer Insights, Catherine Cullen. Catherine, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thanks so much for having me.
So what I've realized is I don't need to buy as much for back to school when it comes to supplies. It's more the clothing and things. What have you seen has been the trends this year in back to school shopping?
Every year, kids need school supplies, backpacks, clothes, all those types of things. But we are seeing consumers budget about what they did last year, slightly less, about $39 billion in total if they have an elementary school student.
What's the items that you see, Kathy, that they, you know, every family's going to get it, right? Like, no matter where you're dealing with your budget, whether or not you're holding off on big ticket items or whatever, the things that absolutely everybody's going in and getting right away.
The essentials for school supplies, you know, it does vary by age. If you're in that younger elementary school category, it's still things like those crayons and colored pencils and notebooks. Middle school students still pulling out some of those calculators. And most students, if they need an electronic, that's often provided by the school. But electronics do become more of an essential for high school students as well as college. So you do see what students need and those key purchases varying a bit by age. But everyone does seem to need new clothes, new shoes, as well as something to put those school supplies in.
Catherine, if you could have one cartoon character on your backpack, which cartoon character would it be?
Oh, either Pokemon or something from the new K-pop Demon Hunters.
Yeah, me too.
Show
everybody.
On Netflix.
Yeah.
That has been the soundtrack. Yes, so that is it would have to be that if I want my kids to recognize me in the pickup line.
Yeah, I just was shopping on Gap's website and the amount of K-pop Demon Hunter T-shirts they had, and my 6-year-old looked over my shoulder. She's like, "Mommy, I need that one. I need that one."
Catherine, all things move in cycles, right? Fashion, you know, interests, fads, all those things. Does anybody mourn the Trapper Keeper? Are we ever, going to welcome this thing back?
You know, as digital as we are, people still use pencils and pens and notebooks and paper. If you have a kid, you know how much paper they come back with.
So much.
And so I think people are really getting into their school supplies and fun storage for that. So it would not, I'm not making a hard prediction, but it wouldn't surprise me if we start to see some more items like that come back as well.
Essentials, first day of school for you, Anna.
I don't know. New sneakers.
Yeah, sneakers. Yeah.
Sneakers are definitely the first thing I need.
Yep.
And then I just need a notebook and a pen. That's it. I like to hand write everything still. I'm old school like that. Even if I have my laptop in front of me, sometimes if I'm working on something or I'm trying to work through something, I still need to write it.
No, totally. I get it. Yeah, that instant access to it. Catherine, first day of school for you. What you had to have it.
Oh, it was a great new pen. I'm with Anna. Like, I like that feeling of writing something down and something with, that writes really smoothly that you feel really proud of.
Yeah, I never had as many number two pencils as I did the first day of school.
I remember I used to get so mad because my mom would buy the cheap number two pencils. I'd be like, we buy Ticonderoga, Mom! Those are the ones! Those are the Mercedes pencils!
As you mentioned, though, some of these things are still very much essentials for kids these days. Back to school, kids do need a lot of items. It is still a lot about that nostalgia, and we see a lot of people making some of those fun memories together as a family as well.
All right. Catherine Cullen is the Vice President of Industry and Consumer Insights at the National Retail Federation. Thank you so much. The bees are coming, or they might actually be here, and they're aggressive and they're mad.
Okay.
Our boss says that in September, it's when the bees want to get you the worst, and he says that there should be some kind of warning about it.
Well, it's their twilight time, right? A lot of them are going to be dying off. If not, they're certainly going to be doing hibernating or whatever it is that bees do when they go somewhere and you don't see them anymore.
Well, he might be right, because Austin Butler is the bee whisperer, the most handsome man in Hollywood.
He is a handsome man.
Yeah. Twice.
Thank you for the reveal. He is an attractive dude.
He sure is. And twice he's been trending because of a face-off that he's had with a bee. First, it was on the red carpet with Emma Stone, and he explains what happened.
Yeah. She said, bee, bee, bee. And then I look, and there's actually a bumblebee.
That was attacking.
That's attacking
Emma
her.
Stone. A bee is attacking poor Emma Stone, we love.
And then Paige just starts laughing, and then I started blowing the bee away. That was my reaction.
Your reaction is just to blow it off of her.
Bumblebee's not very aggressive.
No, but he just blew the bee, and the bee just went away. But that wasn't it. A couple days ago, He was, again, walking a red carpet with Zoe Kravitz this time.
Wow, he's standing next to everybody. That's attractive.
At the London premiere of Caught Stealing, Austin Butler stepped in to help his co-star Zoe Kravitz when an unexpected guest, a bee, buzzed a little too close during photos. The bee shifted its attention to Butler. He didn't flinch, holding his ground until it finally flew off.
It was amazing if you watch
it. Holding his ground.
He was like the bee whisperer. The bee is just hovering over his hand while he calmly holds his hand out. I was like, what is happening here?
I mean, he's just talking to that bee. He's relaxing with it, right? Zoe Kravitz, though, throw your body in front of that bee if necessary. I totally second that motion. Good job, Austin.
So I figure we should all prepare ourselves for the bee invasion that is coming, okay, as Austin Butler has seen. So first, I saw some questionable advice on the internet.
Probably seen viral videos of people's cars getting swarmed by bees. This happens when bees are migrating, or if a queen bee gets stuck inside your car. And if you don't remove them, they might create a whole new hive. So what should you do? Well, just remove the queen bee and carefully scrape off the rest.
Yeah, what? Call a professional.
Wait, how do you locate the queen bee? Do you send out like a...
It's huge. No, you.
How
would,
big?
You would, no, it's massive.
But then when you look at the swarms, there's a billion of them. How do you know?
Because that's where they're all going, and the queen bee is massive. Definitely different. Didn't you ever see Aliens?
No, I did not.
You should watch that because, good, sort of reference there.
If you're attacked by a swarm of bees, most people would jump into water to try and escape them. But the bees will just wait for you to resurface before attacking again.
Wait a minute. Who's the first person that jumps into a body of water when they're being attacked by bees? Is that a real thing that people do?
If we sicked a whole colony of bees on you and you saw water, you would run right towards it.
Well, here we're learning not to do that because apparently you can't hold your breath forever.
According to Internet Guy.
So what do you do?
Instead, you should cover your face with your shirt to protect your eyes and mouth. Run as fast as you can to escape the swarm, aiming for a shelter like a car. Once inside, remove any stingers to prevent further venom release.
Yeah, what I didn't know was about the sacs.
Yeah.
So once you get stung, you got to get that stinger out because it keeps giving you all the
venom.
But you're not supposed to pull it out. And I found this guy explaining what to do.
It's a lot.
The venom sac that bees leave behind after stinging continues to pump venom into your body. So to avoid accidentally bursting the sac and causing an infection while trying to remove the stinger, scrape it out using a credit card or a piece of paper as soon as possible.
Yeah.
Then clean the stung area thoroughly with soap and water and apply ice to the spot for 10 to 15 minutes to reduce the swelling.
This is nice if you get stung like 4 or 5 times. This is not good if you get stung like 25 times. You're not going to be doing any of that stuff.
No, but no. I like what Austin, you think if I just blow on them, they'll go away.
Just hang out around that dude and you're probably the safest you're gonna be, because if not, all this other stuff, it's just kind of, it's internet advice. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anna and Raven's Pick'em News.
3 news stories, you only get to hear about one, and Raven decides which one it is. Pick'em News is powered by Sherwin-Williams. Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains tomorrow through September 4th. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
It's an awesome responsibility, Anna, but I'm here for it.
Are you ready for today's selection?
What do you got?
Number one, feds warn about Walmart's radioactive shrimp.
Who doesn't know that? And what's the difference? It's delicious.
Okay. Number two, U.S. tourist yanks Venice pickpocket by the ponytail.
Nice. I mean, that's what that thing's there for.
And number three, top mayoral advisor caught handing reporter a bag of chips stuffed with cash.
Oh, nice. I'm going to go with pickpockets. Why not?
Okay. An American tourist, a mom, I should also mention, was visiting Venice and walking around with her husband when she noticed that her bag had been left unzippered and her water bottle and her purse, which contained her passport, credit cards, cash, and a pair of AirPod Bluetooth headphones, were all missing.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, here's the thing, is that if you travel over Europe, you know you got to watch out because there are pickpockets everywhere.
You know, this is the thing I've been told about travel, and I can remember being, like, even a teenager, and the first time that I traveled and went on a road trip anywhere, and, like, you would have your wallet stuffed so far down in the front pocket of your pants, and you would touch it every 30 seconds, which, by the way, when a pickpocket sees you doing it, they just know exactly where your wallet is, and chances are they're still good enough to get it. But what happened?
My dad has been warning me about pickpockets in Italy since I was a little kid and we were going. My parents are from Italy. So, they're actually there right now, and I always know when they're about to go to Italy because my dad asked to borrow my Lululemon a fanny pack.
So he can keep an eye on it. So it's in front of him.
He wears this my fanny pack
the entire time
he's in Italy. Entire time.
Yeah.
He puts everything right in front of him because of people just like this.
Yeah.
So she used the Find My Friends feature to track her iPods, her AirPods, and it traced her back to 3 14-year-old girls.
Okay.
Now, as my dad has told me many times, kids. It's the kids that are the pickpockets. It's a, you know,
it's
they work
reasons.
With the adults.
Yeah.
But they do it.
Yeah, a couple of reasons. I mean, obviously the consequences are not exactly the same and you're unsuspecting.
Yeah. So what did this mom do? She grabbed one of the 14-year-old girl's hair by her ponytail and she held her for 15 minutes. Not 15. Let me rephrase that. 50.
50 minutes.
50 minutes waiting for the polizia to come.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, listen to this.
Did she get it wrong?
She was screaming. The girl was screaming, but the mom wasn't having it.
You stole my purse with my passport in it.
Bully.
Oh, little girl, I have 8 kids. You're not getting to me.
She said, I got 8 kids. You can scream all you want, girlfriend. Yeah. You're not getting away until this police shows up.
She needs her money, too.
Yeah.
8 kids, right? Can't just give it up. She's like, this is the trip of my lifetime.
Well, the thing
I'm in Venice.
True.
I finally got away from my 8 kids. And I will definitely take you with me if I have to, if that's what it takes to get my purse back.
And it's true. So one of the friends, one of the pickpocket friends, stayed with her while she held onto her ponytail for 50 minutes. Also, if you're in Italy, you know that is not a surprise that it took 50 minutes for the cops to show up.
Okay.
And then the other one ran off on the subway and got away. They caught all three. She got her passport back.
Wow.
They were back out pickpocketing 2 days later.
I mean, I don't doubt it for a minute. And truthfully, I mean, I can't believe that the woman who was holding her didn't get in some sort of trouble, too. I'd be afraid of that.
No, she didn't get in trouble. Here's the thing is, like, the way they treat kids there is different.
Oh.
It's different than it is here.
Oh, nobody's crying. Nobody's showing the video. And,
no.
And, you know, they won't cancel you?
Yeah, no. It's pretty much like, well, she had it coming. She had it coming.
Back to school to prove to Dad that I'm not a fool. Oh, back to school.
It's got to be one of the hardest things about being a full-time working parent.
Mm.
Kelly Clarkson was on Kylie Kelce's podcast. And, you know, you want to talk about two real moms breaking it down. That's two real moms breaking it down.
Kelly Clarkson, I regard her as a straight talker all the time.
Absolutely.
She's been that way her entire life. I mean, public life anyways, that I've known her to be.
Sure. Because she's like a real... She's real as they come for an American Idol winner, right?
Right after they got after that Between Kelly and Justin movie thing. Right after that, that's when it got really real.
Anyway, she said this.
I don't know when the school systems thought it would be a good plan for families and their emotional stability to start having performances at 10 a.m. during the week. This just in, a lot of us work.
I get it. As a working mom myself, mm-hmm. I understand that there are decisions that I have made as a parent and as a working person that I can't be at two places at once.
I mean, nobody can.
No.
That's, physically impossible.
But why is everything at 10 o'clock in the morning? Why is everything middle of the workday?
Because teachers aren't coming back.
Oh.
They're not coming back. Administrators are not coming back. They leave the school for the day. You're not getting them back. And if you do, the shape that they might be in, probably not good.
Our kids don't understand, and we just look like assholes when we're not there. And then they go, why was this mom there? And then you have to say, because that kid got a better mom.
Yeah, that's 100% accurate. 100% accurate.
Yesterday was Meet the Teacher. I mean, I get it. That has to be during, like, the school regular hours.
Did anybody meet your teacher?
Yeah, well, yeah, of course. So here's the thing is that I have always made it a goal, right, that somebody went.
Yeah.
Whether it was my mom, whether it was my husband, whether it was my cousin Angela being there for her.
So who was it?
So yesterday was Paul. Yesterday was my husband.
All right, that's pretty good.
No, that's fine.
Right.
But, like, it kills me that I can't be there. And I'll never forget the one time it was when she was in preschool. It was like the mom's brunch. The email went out the day before.
That's not cool.
And it was like Mother's Day was coming up and they invited all the moms to come for brunch. And they've said it so lackadaisical. Like, if you would like to come tomorrow, the kids would like to do a performance for you. And I remember we were doing the show and I was like, there's no way I'm going to make this. There's absolutely no way. And I didn't plan on it. But for whatever reason, we had finished early enough that I could go. And I remember I walked in and every other mom was there.
They froze.
And me. All I kept thinking was, I would have been the only mom not here. I would have been the only mom not in this room if I didn't somehow get out early today and whatever, you know, in the universe put me at that spot. And I went back in the car and I cried. And I was like,
but you made it.
Yes, but how many times was I not? And that has to be one of the most annoying things about being a full-time working parent, right?
I mean, that's
you
really
miss
tough.
Things.
Yeah, that's really tough. And I would say that that's an anomaly. I mean, a lot of neighborhoods are not going to have every single other mom there. That's crazy, right? Because that's really difficult.
But I started thinking about it. Like, there's other annoying things that the schools do that you really don't have any power over. Like the fact that whenever they send a message, no matter what the message is, I get it by text message. Mm-hmm. My phone rings and goes to voicemail. I get an app alert and an email. Why do I have to have four different ways to contact me?
I mean,
to let me know that registration is open for after school activities.
At least you didn't miss it. At least you didn't miss it. That'd be worse, too. That'd be bad.
1-800-330-9999. What is the one most annoying thing that you think your school does, even though you love them? Sometimes your school does things that you are not a fan of. Kelly Clarkson was on Kylie Kelsey's podcast and said this.
I don't know when the school systems thought it would be a good plan for families and their emotional stability to start having performances at 10 a.m. during the week. This just in, a lot of us work.
It's hard for full-time parents when things happen during the school day. You can't be there.
Imagine, though, if the last couple plays that Hayden was in were happening during the day and you were able to get there, Paul might stay awake.
Doubtful. My husband will fall asleep immediately at any dance recital or any performance from the kids, which is sad. But, okay, what is the most annoying thing that your school does? You love them. They're there for your kids. But, man, you wish they would change this one thing. 1-800-330-9999. Katie.
Oh, there's just so much pressure that they want me to join the PTA and be part of their clique.
The volunteering.
It's a real thing.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it could be almost cult-like in some towns, in some schools.
It's true.
It's a lot, yeah. But it is a lot that they're trying to take on. So I applaud the PTA for trying to take on big things. If they're one of those ones that's really organized and they're fundraising all the time because they're doing stuff, I applaud them. That's part of what makes your kid's school great and successful. On the other hand, just act like you don't see me when I walk by you.
When I was a first-time new mom, I volunteered for everything I could.
You were dedicated. Oh, you were like, I want to help my child.
And my best friend, Danielle, she said to me, this is dumb and you're going to regret it. And she was right. Like, because the minute they know they have you, you're at every event.
You're
setting up every table. Mm-hmm. You're sending out every email. You're doing all the things, you know? And then after Hayden, after I had Dakota starting all over again, when they asked for volunteers, I am a ghost.
See ya. Peter, how about it? What's the most annoying thing that your kid's school does?
Why can't they just email you a permission slip? My daughter's lost three and then has had to miss a couple of school things. And they're like, oh, she didn't bring the permission slip. Why couldn't they just email that to me?
Whenever I get something that's still paper in her backpack, which comes crushed at the bottom, I always think to myself, if today was the day that I didn't go through her backpack, I never would have seen this.
Never would have happened.
She'd
be calling you crying.
Well,
yeah, somebody
be so
would
upset.
Be calling you.
She'd be so upset if she couldn't go on a field trip or something.
100%.
I opened a backpack last year, and usually when there's like the birthday parties, you get the evites now or a text from the parent.
Mm-hmm.
But there was an old school invitation at the bottom of her backpack that had to have been, I missed it because it was small. It had to have been, thankfully, I made it. So we were able to make it like a week before. But I'm like, how long was this down here? And I'm like, how many other parents didn't know that there's these little tiny invitations buried at the back of their book packs?
Yeah, and the teacher can't be following up with you every single day. So you're going to get that call when she's standing outside the bus crying.
Mary, most annoying thing that your school does?
They send the school bus at 6:34 a.m. every single morning, and school doesn't even start till like 7:45. And my poor kid is like, I feel like I need to send her with coffee every morning, the poor thing. She's so tired. School starts so much later.
Is she the first one on the bus?
We are the first stop every single morning. She's the only kid. It takes like another 15 before the next kid even gets on the bus.
Yeah. When you're the first or the last, it's a problem.
Well, Dakota is the last pickup, which is nice.
That's nice in the morning, but is she the last drop off?
I do pick up. So, but you know, so it works out for us. But otherwise, I can imagine if you're like the first kid on the bus, that is an early wake up time, and that is a long time to be sitting on a bus.
I can remember being on an after school bus before and feeling like, wait a minute, am I ever going home?
Mm.
Is this ever going to end? Yeah. Oh gosh, so long.
Is this more political nonsense or just a lady trying to make a new friend? Which leads to the bigger question. How do you make friends and should you buy them?
Yeah.
Is that a thing? Trending is powered by BetterHelp. BetterHelp makes it easy to match with a licensed therapist. Get 10% off your first month of online therapy at BETTERHELP.com/Anna and Raven. A lot of controversy over this.
Winnie Greco is a longtime ally, fundraiser, and advisor for Mayor Adams. But yesterday, she was outed by a local news organization and subsequently suspended from the mayor's reelection efforts after she was allegedly caught trying to hand a journalist a bag of chips. What was it stuffed with? Cash.
Yep. This is in New York City. Mayor Adams is up for reelection. And this is somebody who used to work for him.
Okay.
And then there was an FBI investigation and didn't and came back as a volunteer.
Okay.
Now.
So, I mean, they're still working for him or
as
a proxy or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. If you're wondering, because I certainly was, what kind of potato chip bag it was.
I was wondering how much money was in the chip bag.
But we're going to get to that.
Okay.
It was a Hers sour cream and onion rippled potato chips. Delicious. I'm a big fan of those.
That was the first indicator for me. I would never want those chips.
Oh, I would.
Sorry.
100% like
something nefarious is going on here. How much money?
Greco allegedly texted Honan after spotting her at the event, asking her to meet across the street, where she then handed Honan an open bag of potato chips. Honan said she initially refused the snack, but Greco insisted that she keep it.
If somebody insists that you take an open bag of chips, how do you react to that? Are you like, all right,
I'm going to take it?
While walking to a nearby subway station, Honan opened the bag and found a red envelope inside stuffed with at least one $100 bill and several 20s.
This is what I'm trying to figure out.
I mean, come on. What are you buying for $200?
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, it seems like you owe somebody money.
Several 20s. One $100 bill and several 20s.
That's like $160.
That's what I said. Is it like $3 $20 bills or is it like $100?
I mean, regardless, it's not enough.
I looked at the picture because there's a picture of the bag.
The envelope,
It's the red envelope inside the bag, and it doesn't look that fat.
No, it's got to be fat. If you want something from me, it's got to be fat.
Right.
Anna.
But, you know, this isn't a payoff. This isn't any of that. There's a logical explanation behind all of this, Raven.
Okay.
Her attorney said in a statement, this was not a payoff. This was Winnie's gesture of kindness to a reporter she knew and thought of fondly. Exchanging money in a red envelope is a common custom in the Chinese community. As odd as it looks, Winnie's intention was innocent, not nefarious.
She wanted her to be her friend, she said.
I have heard about the red envelope thing with Chinese culture.
Of course.
I have heard about that.
Yes, that's a huge thing.
But why would it be covered in salt in a chip bag and I not just hand it to you and we have to insist that it's in there? That's a little bit strange. How much money does it cost to be your friend?
I was trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. I go, if you want to be my friend, how much money should you pay me?
Let's say you have to be a friend for a year.
You know, I have to be honest. My best friend, Danielle, gets very mad when I refer to people as my friends.
Yeah.
Because she corrected me just the other day. She goes, that's not your friend. That's an acquaintance.
I'm not asking you what Danielle's sensibilities are.
You can't buy
my friendship.
You can't buy my friendship. You can't. You can't do it.
$10,000, I'll act like we're friends for a year. $10,000 right now. Cash in a red envelope placed in a potato chip bag. I mean, people will try and buy your friendship all the time. Here's what I don't like. People that, you know, offer to do you a million favors for the minute you met them, they seem to have all good intent. Then, of course, they're going to hang it over your head. I never accept anything from anybody for that reason.
$10,000 to be your friend?
Yep, for a year.
No.
You know, to act like friends, yep. Yep, put it in the chip bag right now.
Like, you just like stuff on each other's social, or you have to call each other and text each other?
Whatever. I mean, I don't call or text anybody, so if it's like once a week, you know. You can come to my three major barbecues, you can come to those.
Oh, you go to your parties,
too? $10,000, yeah.
That seems like a lot of money. I think I'm out.
I put it out there. The listing is now known.
So, the guy that is the mascot, Rocky the Mountain Lion for the Denver Nuggets, is suing the team because he went to have hip replacement and they held tryouts during his recovery time. And they said they were trying to replace him.
Well, you know, the thing about these shows, these games, Anna, the show goes on, right? The world doesn't stop just because somebody is injured, as sad as that may seem.
All right. Well, I guess you need your hips. We tried to find a mascot to see what they thought about this, and we did. And it's producer Julie's uncle. Rob Hooper, he's a former Seton Hall basketball mascot, the Pirate. Rob, how are you?
I mean, Rob, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
It was a big deal. It was certainly a big deal, a lot of fun, but a lot of work and effort for sure, too.
Rob, how did that come about?
It actually started in high school. I wanted to be the high school mascot. We were the Wolfpack, but supposedly they lost the costume. They didn't have it. We didn't have the mascot for like 4 years. So when I got into college, I thought about it again. You know, they were having cheerleading tryouts, and part of that is the mascot. So I went to tryouts, and, you know, they had a very veteran mascot at the time. So I just went through the tryouts, and lo and behold, they were like, you know what, we'll bring you on as a backup. And eventually it came into be my whole thing, and there was no backup behind me at that point in time.
Rob, when you had to audition, did you have to do a dance-off? Was there any dancing involved?
Yeah, you had to learn the dance that the cheerleaders did.
Mm-hmm.
And we had guy and girl cheerleaders. But yeah, I had to pretty much learn everything, all mm-hmm. the dances at that point, and be able to kind of hit them, but also be funny and kind of creative with it. And it got so good that I could break off, do my own thing while the cheerleaders were doing their dance, and then join them right back in on the next moves kind of
solo.
Thing.
See that, Anna?
Solos.
Right. If you've got the trust of the people around you, right? If
yeah.
you've got the skill set, sooner or later, they no longer draw up the plays for you anymore. They say, listen, at this point, you just go rogue, right? You do whatever
yeah.
you want, whatever your heart speaks to. I love that, Rob.
Rob Hooper is the former Seton Hall basketball mascot and producer Julie's uncle. How hot does it get in that mascot costume?
Extremely hot. The one I had, it was like a big helmet, basically, with a screen at the top that would allow heat off. But I would lose about 5 pounds a game.
What?
Oh, my gosh.
Just because it's pure sweat, and you're just running around and doing everything that you need to do. I mean, a basketball game is about 2 hours, and that's about probably as long as you want to be in there overall.
All right, so we thought we would do a speed round where we would just ask you rapid-fire questions. Sound good?
Sure.
All right. Did you ever get into a fight with another mascot, and who won?
I did, actually, because we had a big flag that we ran around, and during one of the women's NCAA tournament games, we were playing Penn State at the time, the Nittany Lion grabbed on the back end of the flag, so I kind of shoulder-blocked her as she came by. Took her right off her feet. I had no idea it was a woman at that point or anything. But, she said she was a little upset, but she shook it off. And understandable move for sure.
Yeah, so. I mean, you got to be prepared for no matter what. You didn't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Her fault. She started it.
What's a mascot that you envy, Rob?
Yeah, the Philly Fanatic. You know, he's got all the tools, all the toys. You know, the golf carts driving around to be able to
say, right?
motorize around a place with things. So it would be a lot of fun for sure and have a lot of hijinks of things.
All right. Thanks so much. Rob Hooper is former Seton Hall basketball mascot and producer Julie's uncle. We've learned a lot about mascots today.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So much more to it than I thought, Rob. And I am scouring YouTube right now for your fight with the Nittany Lion.
Yeah.
this was way before YouTube.
Oh,
so I don't
sad.
Know that it's even out there, but... Who knows? You never, if you find it, send me a copy.
When a student goes off to college for the first time, should they break up with their home boyfriend or girlfriend before they go? So interesting to think about. And so many people have been dealing with this. I've been talking to a lot of parents that watch their kids go through this decision.
Yeah. Let me give you an example here, right? Let's mm-hmm. say that you were going for your first year of college, but you were going to go take that first year in Paris. Should you hold on to your loser boyfriend who doesn't have a job, no ambition, no car, doesn't take himself anywhere? Because I'm thinking the answer is a big nit.
I mean, what if he has a job and he's a nice guy and you're in a happy relationship? Producer Julie, I got this message on DM. We had asked last week or something on our Facebook page, what's the advice do you have for students going away to school? And Audrey wrote, break up with your high school boyfriend or girlfriend. It'll keep you from opportunities you might have to connect with your fellow students, which means other boys and girls to kiss.
Yeah.
Right.
Make it out.
Yeah. And it's so fascinating to me because it's such a hard conversation. I went to school, to college, and I kept my high school boyfriend, who was my world.
Me too.
My world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It lasted one semester.
Thank you.
And then I dumped him. And then I was like, this is probably the best decision.
Then, right.
this is
then you
the
had
best
a different
thing.
World.
Then I had a
right.
different world that was so much more fun.
How far were you from home?
45 minutes.
See, this
oh,
is the big problem. So
yes.
I'm dealing with this right now. I just saw this. My friend, they're just moving their daughter into college this weekend. And she said to me, she asked me for the car. And she said, I told her she could not have it because I knew she would come back every weekend to visit her boyfriend.
Yeah.
So I said, no, you can't have the car. He's like, if she wants the car, she can have it when she's a sophomore.
Yeah, once she's met more people.
That's right.
And everything. That makes more sense.
That's right.
Julie, what did you do?
Well, I had a boyfriend of about 2 years in high school and went to college, still dating. He was still at home because he was a year under me, so he hadn't left for a college at all at that point.
Oh, it's so much harder that way.
Right. So he was still kind of hometown and everything, but it was COVID, so I went home and did school remotely. So it was a little easier. But once I got back sophomore year, I broke up with him before going back, so it was kind of all ties were cut off. And I met, like, the love of my life, like, 6 months later.
Me too.
You have to just give yourself that opportunity to meet new people.
Did he cry?
Sounds like a yes.
Did he cry when you told him?
Oh, yeah. It was not good.
Yeah.
Do all they cry when you...
I feel bad still.
I know.
Do they all cry when you break up with them, Julie?
Well, me, yeah. I mean...
I love it.
I remember I had brought Paul. So my first boyfriend after my high school boyfriend in college was Paul. And... we were out at a bar one night and my ex from high school walked in and he grabbed my arm and he goes, "What's with this guy? You gonna marry this guy?" And I looked at him, I go, "Probably." And
end of discussion.
And that was it.
Period on that. Don't bother me again. Touch my arm and I'll tell him.
And I was like, you know what? Not for nothing. But I was probably at that point was going to marry Paul no matter what, just to spite him.
I love it.
Well, that's romance.
I know, but I do hear these stories also. There's so many. Who stays together? Who doesn't stay together? Can they do the long distance?
Yeah.
And parents are so torn on what to give advice to their children on what to do. So if you've ever been in this situation, what do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Do you break up with your significant other, your boyfriend or girlfriend from high school before you go off to college? Oh, gosh.
That's the sound of your boyfriend or girlfriend who didn't break up with you before they went to college at their first kegger, 8 days into their collegiate career.
I mean, I didn't.
Kissing somebody else.
I thought I was going to marry my high school boyfriend. We were so in love. We lasted one semester before I dumped him and we moved on with our lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then after that, you had a great time.
I had such a good time and I met my husband. You know, it's what happens. And I see a lot of these high schoolers now that it's hard because they have to make the decision now as they're moving in and they don't know what to do because they're so in love, but, you know, they don't know what's ahead.
And again, there's that security of something that you know, something that's familiar, somebody that's going to be there when you call or text or whatever.
But is it harder if you stay with them and then, you know, you start college, you're like, you don't want to cheat on them. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Sam.
I don't know. I mean, it depends on how serious it is. Some people get married out of high school, and then some people are just emotional disasters. So I mean, it really depends on your maturity level, maybe.
This is a guy who's hedging his bets because he hadn't figured it out yet.
Right.
I mean...
Unless you're 18. You know, it's okay,
right.
Sam.
He's still thinking there's one that might have got away? I don't know.
Did you have a
one
high school...
Two.
Did you have a high school girlfriend?
I did.
And what happened?
Yeah, well... She slapped me in front of a group at homecoming. Look, let's not fixate on my personal experience.
Okay.
You know, I think.
Wow.
All right. So I guess you never made it to graduation, so you didn't have to make this decision. I understand.
Right. Made it easy. Shantae, what do you think? Break up or not before college?
I'm kind of in the middle. I remember being that age. I remember having a boyfriend who wound up being my son's dad at that age. Uh-huh. My son, he's 21 now. He's had the same girlfriend since he was 15. She's a year older than him. She stayed local, but when he was going to college, his dad was not with the idea of him staying with her, you know, for dad reasons. But, you know, I was kind of in between, but I'm like, if it starts becoming drama, then you need to make some decisions. His phone wound up getting broken. He had to drop a class. It kind of set him back a little bit.
Hey, Tony, what do you think? Breaking up before they go to college, would you advise your kids to do it, yes or no?
No, give it a shot. That's the advice I just gave my youngest. Mm-hmm. He went last year, was his first year of college, and they ended up breaking up about 2 months into it, which was rough.
Mm-hmm.
But reconciled, they have a friendship right now, and the reason why I say no is my wife and I went through the same thing 30-plus years ago. I went away to school in Cleveland. My wife broke up with me, and when I came back from school, it was a one-year trade school, and when I came back, I got myself a job. I got my head on straight. A few months after being back, my wife and I got back together. We have 4 kids, mm-hmm. Beautiful home. I say give it a shot. Mm-hmm. I was listening to the girl. It's so funny. I'm in my wife's car right now, so I'll be honest. I don't usually listen to this station.
Well, welcome.
This conversation came up, and I was like, oh, my God, I just went through this. My thing is always, you know, and it's different for, you know, me with my age. I didn't have to worry about social media posts. I didn't have to worry about somebody snapping.
It was very different. Yes. You didn't have to deal with the depression. Yeah. I mean, you had depression, I'm sure, when you were away, but it would be different at school now.
Well, it's funny because one of our friends, his daughter just broke up with her boyfriend and he immediately blocked her on all social media. And that was tough.
Yeah, but you used it as a way to straighten yourself out and make it a mission to get her back, which is definitely fantastic. Yeah. And now that you've come here and stumbled here and made that mistake and then had this life-changing affirmation, we'll see you back here tomorrow.
Yeah, thanks, Tony. Keep listening to the show.
All right, thank you.
Have a great day, man. Bye-bye. Thanks for giving us a chance.
One couple.
It makes me furious. I don't get it.
This is what she wants to do.
One problem.
My daughter wants to do a spa weekend for her 16th birthday.
And I'm being deprived of going there because I'm a guy?
You decide the outcome.
All right, Gabby, you got to be happy to hear that, right?
Yeah, I mean, we can have a family dinner when we get back in town.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about. And then it's up for you to decide who's right. Couples Court is powered by T-Mobile. If you're 55 and up, T-Mobile has plans built just for you. Right now, you can save big with T-Mobile's phone and home internet bundle. Visit your local store to learn more. Gwen and Bobby. All right, Gwen, what's going on?
So Bobby's brother is coming to visit for like 10 days. Bobby offered to let him stay with us at our house for 10 days. I love his brother. He's great. A very nice guy. He's really young. And he loves to go out and, like, get drunk, party, which, you know, isn't bad. I'm not knocking it. But, you know, we both get up early for work. And he likes to stay out late and come back late. And I think 10 days is way too long for someone to stay in your house. Mm. And I just think he should get a hotel. We got to get up early for work. And I don't think it'll work.
What's the budgeting things on this, huh? Like, is that a factor, Bobby?
Budget thing? Well, you know, he is younger. He's not making as much money as us. So I think that is a factor. 10 days is a long time to stay in a hotel. I don't think it matters what level of hotel you're staying in. It's just going to add up after a little while.
Is it weird to be like, can you spend 5 days here and 5 days at a hotel? Because I think that's odd, right?
I mean, I think it's all about how you present it. And if he's younger and he's got less cash, maybe that's something that you guys are paying for. You're willing to do that. You know, I don't know. Oftentimes when people come to stay with family, it is because of necessity, right? Like staying in anybody's house for 10 days is weird. And being a couple and having guests in your house is also weird. When there's a big age gap and as far as he's going to be going out and all that stuff, I don't know.
I agree that there's an age gap and that, you know, that is kind of strange to have somebody in your house for 10 days. But my thought here is that why not talk to him? He's an adult. He's no longer a teenager. And say, hey, you know, Gwen and I have busy working lives. We need to wake up at this certain time. You'll be here for the weekend. So on those days, we can go out together maybe, or at least you can go out and have fun by yourself. But, you know, you have to respect that we are going to have to wake up early quite a few of these days. And so at least for, you know, 10 days or whatever, minus the weekend, can you rein it in for that amount of time? Or if you really need to do that, maybe you go crash at the family's house for that night or whatever because they're not getting up as early, something like that. Keep it a little more fluid. I just don't think we should take that away from him that he can't stay here.
Yeah, on the other hand, you say all that stuff to me, and I think to myself, I'm unwelcome, right?
Mm.
Listen, Bobby, let's give him all the information. You know, he is a little bit older now, so perhaps it might make sense to talk to him. But the last time he stayed with us, we dropped a lot of hints about needing to have our sleep and going to bed early. And he really didn't seem to get it. He just continued to come back late, make a lot of noise. I mean, like, he made himself a grilled cheese in our kitchen.
Let's not do the hints. Let's just be straightforward with the guy.
He made a grilled cheese in their kitchen.
Oh, my gosh. At 1 a.m. after bar time. I bet you that grilled cheese was delicious when he needed it, right?
All right. Well, let's see what the audience says.
Sure,
what?
Comes in dragging Taco Bell with him. Oh, my gosh.
10 days for your brother-in-law to spend at your house. Is that too long, and is that overstaying your welcome?
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court.
How long is too long for your brother-in-law to stay at your house? Is it 10 days? Bobby's brother's coming. He's younger. He stays out late partying, and he's going to stay at their house for 10 days. And Gwen says, we got to go to work.
Yeah.
We got to go to work. You can't stay here for 10 days and just be up all the time having a good time and just, you know, eating out of our fridge and being obnoxious.
Yeah, I don't even think it's the brother, right? It's just the fact that somebody coming in your house in 10 days, and they're not maintaining, you know, relatively the same hours. He's coming back late. You know, he wakes up when he wants, right? That kind of thing. He once made a grilled cheese, Anna. Big problems.
Whose side are you on? Because Bobby thinks it's my brother. How am I going to tell him no?
Right. What am I going to do?
1-800-330-9999. Hi, Tana and Raven. Whose side are you on?
Yeah, hi. I think it's 10 days. I think the family should just suck it up and just deal with it for 10 days. It's 10 days. It's not a lifetime.
You know what? I mean, I think a lot of people would agree with you. When it's family, you just go, oh, well, that's where we're at, right? That's how it's going to be. No matter how long it is, you just decide and accept the fact that that's going to be that way. It's your spouse that you really got to convince.
Yeah, it's true. 10 days, you can survive 10 days. I do understand that. But man, it's going to be a long 10 days.
Yeah, it's long.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court. Is 10 days too long for your brother-in-law to be crashing at your house? Because Gwen thinks so, especially because he's young, loud, stays out all night partying, and they got to go to work.
Bobby acknowledges, listen, a 10-day stay is a lot for my younger brother to come stay with us. He's come and stayed with us before. He does make a lot of noise. But what am I going to do? He's family. He's kind of broke. He's got to stay here.
What do you think? You tell him to go stay with somebody else. 1-800-330-9999. Mari, whose side are you on?
I'm on the guy's side. He can stay for 10 days. Give him a key. Give him a key. Tell him to be quiet when he walks in.
Yeah, I mean, I've got friends that I've warned to be quiet, and they're not. And then the next day, my wife might give me a little grief about it, depending on the friend. But I just say, hey, you know, boys will be boys or whatever, and chalk it up to that. And she's usually all right.
It's only 10 days out of 365 days.
Yeah. I'll say this, though, Anna. If I stay at a hotel for 10 days, by day four, I'm acting like I own it. And so I don't know if it's any different if I'm guesting in somebody's house, but by day four, I'm acting like I own the hotel or the resort.
If you're staying at a hotel for 10 days, you're also broke.
Well, Beatrix, what do you think? Whose side are you on today?
I am on his side. I mean, my husband's from Norway. When his family comes to visit, they're there for like a month.
Oh, my gosh.
So anyone coming from Europe is going to be at least 2 weeks, three weeks. Just lay down the rules and explain to him what they are and make sure he understands it. But it's family and you don't have a choice.
I mean, I don't think he's not coming from Europe. Their brother's coming from like a state away. But I get what you're saying, right?
Compared to that, 10 days is nothing.
We have somebody from Norway that works with us here. Did they smell like fish? Were they fishermen?
No.
Okay.
Very clean kept people.
They're wonderful clean, but they have wonderful fish.
Okay.
The fjords. Thank you for the call. All right. This is a lot of fishing.
Hi, it's Hannah and Raven. Steve's
whole family makes their money off fishing. Hi. Big deal.
My name is Jesse.
Hey, Jesse. Sorry, Raven's driving me crazy. Jesse, what do you think about this? Whose side are you on?
I'm on his side, and I have a troublesome brother-in-law, but it's family, like everyone keeps saying. And more importantly, he's just an individual enjoying his own time in your house. Enjoy the fact that he's enjoying your home.
Mm. Right. You know what? I mean, listen, in 2 weeks, your life is going to go back to its normal, boring routine, right? So who cares if for 2 weeks it's a little bit disruptive.
It's a little break in your day. So you have a little something different to argue about now for a couple of days.
Right.
Jesse, I need some of your positivity. I love it. Thank you.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Bobby, our audience agreed with you. It's your brother. It's 10 days. You already told him he could stay. I mean, maybe let him know that, hey, next time you got to stay at somebody else's house or somewhere else. But for this time, you kind of got to let it go. Remind him that you have to get up early. Don't make too much noise. And hopefully he'll get the hint.
I'm glad everyone agrees with me. At the end of the day, he's family. And, you know, family sometimes inconveniences you, but that's what sacrifice you make to have them in your lives and to let them know you care. And I think it's just important that he feels welcome as a family member. So thank you.
Gwen, you going to be cool with this?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, first of all, I'm really flattered that you think we have a finished basement.
I'm sorry. I've got a friend. I can send him over.
Of course. I understand. And I, you know, Bobby, you're right. Let's just talk to him and tell him straight up that, you know, we do have to get up early for work. So I think we can make it work.
Well, good luck, guys. 10 days is a long time.
If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annonraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $4,400. Hey, Diane, you there?
Hi, yeah, I am.
Okay, and we have your daughter Caitlin with you too, right?
Yes, hi.
All right, perfect. Let's do this. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, could you please leave the room?
You got it. Good luck. $4,400.
Okay. All right, ladies, I need you to get all five of these right. If you do, I got a good feeling that you might be winners today. Raven can't hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. He's out in the hallway. I'm going to ask you five pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. He'll come back in, get the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Number one, Jillian Michaels blasted Netflix's docuseries that she refused to be a part of after her co-stars did not speak very highly of her. The docuseries is based on what reality fitness competition show?
The Biggest Loser.
Number two, a home improvement reunion is coming during the season two premiere of Shifting Gears, which is Tim Allen's newer sitcom. In Home Improvement, Tim was known as Tim the what Taylor?
Tim the Tool Man Taylor.
Number three, Post Malone is the new face of Skims Men. His new tour, his Big Butt World Tour, starts today with two other artists. Name one.
Just say anything. Anything, Katie.
Travis Scott.
Number four, Eva Pilgrim has big shoes to fill as Deborah Norville steps away from hosting what show that she's represented for the last 30 years?
Good Morning America.
And number five, The Summer I Turned Pretty has captivated an audience in season three, especially with the love triangle between amongst Belly, Conrad, and who?
Say anything.
Jeremiah.
Oh, all right. That was the one I needed you to get, but I also need you to get the other ones.
Yo.
All right, 3 out of 5 for Diane and Caitlin.
Okay. Let's see how I do.
Number one, Jillian Michaels blasted Netflix's docuseries that she refused to be a part of after her former co-stars didn't speak highly of her. Mm. The docuseries is based on what reality fitness competition show?
The Biggest Loser.
That's right. Number two, and if you haven't watched it yet, you can't even believe that as a nation, we watched that show and thought it was okay.
Right. People were cheering it on. Loved it. Must see TV.
My daughter said to me, my 16-year-old, she goes, all they keep doing is falling off the treadmill and throwing up. I go, yeah, that was pretty much the gist of it. Then we would cheer when they lost 24 pounds in a week.
Right.
Number two, a home improvement reunion is coming during season two premiere of Shifting Gears, which is Tim Allen's newer sitcom.
Mm-hmm.
In Home Improvement, Tim was known as Tim the what Taylor?
The Tool Man.
Tim the Tool Man Taylor. Yeah. Yes. Number three, Post Malone is a new face of Skims Men. Mm-hmm. His new tour, his Big Butt World Tour, starts today with two other artists. Name one.
Jelly Roll.
Yes, Jelly Roll and Sierra Farrell.
Can't believe the way he looks in these shots. I have to tell you, man, Post Malone is in great shape.
Post Malone is in great shape, and Jelly Roll lost like
over 200 pounds.
200 pounds.
It's amazing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Number four, Eva Pilgrim has big shoes to fill as Deborah Norville has stepped away from hosting what show that she's represented for the last 30 years?
Isn't that Inside Edition?
It is Inside Edition.
Yeah.
There was a time where she used to come on this show and she would give updates. She was always a nice lady.
I mean, we used to same thing, do that thing. I mean, Inside Edition, a little bit of a trashy television program.
I know, but I still watch it every time it's on. Number five, The Summer I Turned Pretty has captivated an audience in season three, especially with the love triangle of Belly, Conrad, and who?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Stephen King?
Jeremiah was correct.
That would have been my next guess.
All right, Diane and Caitlin, 4-3 today. That's going to get you an Ann on Raven t-shirt.
This is Diane and Caitlin. We can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, you two. Tomorrow, Anna, $4,500 on a Friday.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, Sponsored Jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Big news! Wayfair's end of season sale is here. It's Wayfair's Labor Day clearance. Right now, you can score up to 70% off everything home at Wayfair. Plus amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals on home finds in every style. This is your last chance to score end of season savings, and it's happening now. Did we mention fast shipping on everything? Don't wait. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 70% off now through September 2nd.
Wayfair, every style, every home.